one rejoices. I rejoice with her sister about her trip to Vancouver. Praise God. Could you just feel the rejoicing in her spirit? I thought she was the one that was going to be preaching this morning. She was just winding up there. But you know what? Did you feel the joy? And so we rejoice with her. Amen. So when one rejoices, we all rejoice. But when one is broken, when one is hurting, we all hurt. I could not go into the Word of God first till we, first of all, come to the Lord as a family on behalf of Sister Debbie. Been through a lot, but this right now and their whole family. Could we just take a moment right now, just before I pray, would you just in your heart, you know her, those of you who've been praying, they've been here 15 years. And would you just pray right now, just hold her up and her family. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are touched with the very feelings. Our feelings are known to you. You are not strange from them. You are not a high, almighty God who is not identified with pain, with suffering, with sorrow, with grieving. And so you know exactly what our sister is feeling. You know what each of her children and siblings or her whole family, you know, you remember when you experienced what they're experiencing. So we ask now that you would just give a special blessing. Lord, would you just come close to our sister now? And would you put her arms around her and just hold her close to yourself? May she sense your literal heartbeat as John put his head on your chest. Let her be in your bosom right now and let her feel your tears and your grieving, that you are touched with her. But Lord, we rejoice also in the hope that we have and also in eternal life. And so, Lord, we thank you for hearing this prayer. Lord, we look to you now for your word. Let it speak to our hearts today. Oh God, let it now become life. Let it become alive. Let it live. Let it not just be words. May it become life inside of us, we pray. Oh Lord, we ask this now. We want to hear from you. Lord, we don't want just a sermon. Many, many sermons we've heard, but we are waiting for a morsel. We're waiting for manna. We're waiting for living bread. You are the living bread, and you come into our very spirits and give life. We ask you to do that this morning. We pray in your precious name. We ask this in your name, the name that's above every name that is to be named. All authority is given to your name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I have to tell you that in the last years, I've come to reverence the Word of God. I have had the Bible with me ever since, well, as long as I remember, Bibles were part of our growing up. And there was never a day that I didn't know there was a Bible in our home, and it was open, it was part of our life. But it became something that I became familiar with. I was used to it. And recently, over the last 3 years in particular, I won't go into the details why the Word of God has become precious. It's never that I didn't, but it's very precious. Very precious. And Paul told Timothy, give yourself to the public reading of Scripture. As you know, in that time, they did not have copies like this with printing presses. And so when they read Scripture publicly, it was something, a very sacred moment. And I'm going to ask if you would do something with me. I don't do this often, but I felt to do it this morning. I'm going to turn to a passage in Scripture. 1 John chapter 2, 7 to 14. I'm going to put the Scripture on the screen. Could we do something together in reverence? You've been standing, but would you stand with me one more time for the reading of the Holy Word of God? Would you stand with me for the reading of the Holy Word of God? And would you read it out loud with me? I will put it on the screen. We're going to pray. I'm praying these very words that you're going to read will speak to our spirits. Let's read together. Beloved, I am writing you no new command, but the old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light already is shining. I just got to pause for a moment. Somebody mentioned that this morning. Somebody mentioned, I think it was Harvey, I don't know, was it you, Reese? Somebody about the light, that we're in the light. I think it was you, Reese. Amen? And I thought, amen, confirmation of the scripture. Let's keep reading. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now just pause for a moment. Sister, you were talking about you and one of your siblings. There had been some kind of division had come. But by just looking to the Lord, isn't it wonderful to praise God that God removed that darkness? His light shone through. And that's for every one of us. I felt, especially in this body at this time, having been called of the Holy Spirit to come among you. I was in BC and called to come among you 2 weeks ago, not knowing how the enemy had tried to come and cause division and trouble and strife. Isn't it wonderful that we can forgive? There is no name that comes to our mind where there is any blockage, where there is anything except forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. This is the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. We're going to keep reading. Listen to this now. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I got the wrong verse up there. Well, let me see. There we go. Sorry about that. I'm sorry. Let's read that again. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Now watch. This very passage is spoken identically again the second time, but watch for a few words that are different. Ready? I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Ready? The second time. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. This is the text I want to focus on. This is Father's Day. Fathers, we must know the Heavenly Father so that our children, do you see what it says there? Children, because you know him, you know the Father. Would you pray with me this morning that God will help to bring this alive in us? Heavenly Father, now, I ask this word that you, Lord of God, will be seen. You, the Father who is from the beginning, will be seen by us fathers who are here today and those who are coming up to be fathers. And let, Lord, our children will know you. Our children will know you because we know you. And because we know you, our children will know you. And then our children's children will know you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Let your word live here among us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm highlighting the part of this scripture that I want to speak to you about and I want to focus on. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. You know him is from the beginning. I was thinking, as I was coming to Father's Day, I was going, Happy Father's Day! And I was thinking of my father, and he's going to be 90 in just a few months. And thinking, Happy Father's Day, Father, my dad. And I was thinking, 90 years old. Wow, that's a long time. And then I thought, Abba? Not Abba is the word for my earthly father, but my heavenly father. Abba. My father was born in October 6, 1924. My heavenly father was, always has been. My heavenly father is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. He has no gravestone. There's no beginning with him. There's no ending with him. I'm saying happy birthday to both my fathers. Amen. Happy birthday. Not that my heavenly father ever had birth. There was never a birth to my heavenly father. But I praise him as I am a descendant from my heavenly father, and so are you. We have one single father. Every human being, doesn't matter what color, doesn't matter what language, doesn't matter where we stand on the globe, we have one Father. We all come from Adam, and Adam came from God, and this is our Father. Amen. We forget about this. We forget that not only physically I come from my Father, I physically come from my father's father, 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 Moses, father, 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 whatever. It comes to Adam. I am and you are a descendant from Adam. And Adam was made in the image of God. I want to just focus on that scripture. I write to you, fathers, because you know him from the beginning. You know, the telescope and the microscope, they all confirm what they call now intelligent design. Now, scientists, because of what they're observing in the heavens and what they're observing through the microscope, it's undeniable. Science is leading scientists, and now they won't call themselves Christians. They will call themselves, well, I'm a theist. I'm a creationist. So you actually have some who they don't want to say, I'm Christian. They'll say, well, I'm a creationist. They're inching. Why? Because the heavens declare. The heavens declare God. The universe is expanding at a decelerating rate. They're looking at the scopes and they're finding this out. Almost 3 years ago now, I thought, I'm going to take a course in this university in California on creation and the beginning of time. So you can pay your money and go online. So I paid my money and I went online. And they took my money. They took my money just like that. It was no problem. But when I got the course, I couldn't read it. I couldn't understand it. I had been in engineering, but I never took physics. I never took those elements. And these students are from all over the world, and they're talking, and right away they got into terms that I had never ever heard of. I'd never heard of some of these dimensions in physics, and I was really in trouble. What was the name of that word I couldn't find, Karen? Quantum physics, yeah. Quantum physics. What's quantum physics? So I went to Chapters and I said, you know, I'm taking a course. Do you have a book on quantum physics for dummies? And they said, yes, we do. I said, really? So they took me, and here's one of those books with the yellow and the black, you know, and it said, quantum physics for dummies. And I said, thank you very much. And they began to walk away, and I opened it up, and I read the index, and I called them back. I said, come here, come here. What? I said, do you have something that's dumber than dummies? I can't even read the table of contents. I can't understand it. And so they got two or three of the staff, and they were trying to help me, and they, what kind of book did they give somebody like me? He says, what do you do? I says, well, I'm the chaplain upstairs. He says, well, what do you want to study, quantum physics? I says, well, I said, I want to understand creation from the science. And they didn't know how to help me. After about 3 or 4 weeks, I said, I'm just going to have to give my money away. I can't do this course. Because now, they were talking about what they call multiverses. That means more universes than what we see existing at the same time in the same space. I'm like going, I can't even understand what I'm looking at. How can you talk about stuff you can't see anymore? I'm serious. This happened to me. And so that night, I closed my book, said, Lord, I must have made a mistake. And in the night, the Holy Spirit taught me quantum physics through the book of Revelation. And I saw a door open before me. And the Lord said, it leads into a specific space. Doors open into a defined area. The throne room exists. It's not future. It is now. It exists. There is another universe that you cannot see. And I'm going, whoa. And that night, waking up and sleeping, I went all the way through to the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. It's got dimensions to it. Square, 1,500 miles, 1,500 miles. I'm going, oh, quantum physics, yes. I got on my computer in the morning and I started saying, I found quantum physics in the Bible. And students from Africa were all going, Bob, this is fantastic. And all kinds of things were happening in the class. People were back and forth to me. I became the center of attention in the class as though I was a brilliant man. And the professor got so upset that all these people, he took me off the internet, that I had to go through him. They could just talk to me. I had to go through him. But you know something? I can tell you, by even in those small studies that I did with just a little bit, I know these scientists who are so clever are looking in the face of God. God says, in the last day, I will put signs in the heavens. And he had them build this Hubble scope and send it out there saying, I want you to take a look. And they're looking, go, I think we see God. It's true. Because the universe is expanding at a decelerating rate, it will stop. And I told them, I said, the Bible says everything is going to implode. Everything's going to stop expanding. It's going to come back onto the head of a pin. And they're all, what? Yes, the Bible says the stars are going to fall like rain. This isn't going on forever. I'm going to give you one more. Okay, I have to stop or I'll be too long. I got excited. One professor in Massachusetts did his doctorate, wrote his paper. He said, the universe is a virtual plane. That means it's much broader. It's like the galaxy, the Milky Way. It's like a big plane of stars. So the whole universe is actually like a great big flat type plane. And he made a stupid, he didn't know that I would be reading it. Just a no-brain preacher. And he said, and we can observe nothing is approaching our universe. I thought, like the coming of Jesus Christ, maybe? And so I wrote to him, sir, I observe from all of your deductions that the universe is a plane. But you cannot see another plane that is coming, approaching it. Outside of that plane of the universe, it is the kingdom of God. And when it intersects the plane of our universe, instantly, time will be no more. Now, either he thought I was a quack, or he couldn't say anything, but he had no explanation. I want to tell you something. It didn't take science to prove the Bible. The Bible stands, it's God's word. But we make no apologies. You don't have to say, well, I can't think too much. If I think too much, I'm going to find the Bible's not true. It's the other way around. all true science facts lines up with the Word of God. I am telling you the truth. Not only do they find that in the telescope, they find it in the microscope. You see, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I was getting my eyes examined. I'm getting older. You know, do you ever get to the point where you're going like this all the time? I'm at the point I'm doing this now all the time. So I went to the doctor. He checked, you know, and do all this checking. And he's not a Christian, but he knows I'm a Christian. He says, I want to tell you, there can be no one in medicine who is an atheist. I said, really? Tell me more. He says, the study of the human eye. It is impossible for evolution. The formation of the human eye is absolute total evidence of creation. It could never have evolved. The human eye by itself, and he's talking to me, a Christian, saying, I'm not a Christian, but I am a creationist. I'm going, okay, keep coming. You're coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Folks, I'm telling you this is truth. Listen carefully now. Listen what I'm telling you. In this day, there is great darkness coming over the earth. But where there is his wickedness, his grace more abounds. He will reveal more and more truth. And I want to tell you something. True scientists are going to be confronted with the face of God as they look through the telescope and they look through the microscope. As they're looking, they're finding DNA and they're finding chromosomes and they're finding all this. I want to tell you something. They're looking at the very fingerprint of God. They're finding every human being has come from the same source. They're finding all of us, the chromosomes, everything. We are different than monkeys. You know, we are not like monkeys. And you can't put them together. So I'm telling you something. The evidence is piling up and piling up and piling up and piling up and piling up. There is a God. And all these theories, there is no God, are cracking and crumbling and disintegrating. Now, I'm telling you this. Fathers, I write to you because you know him who's from the beginning. How is this? How is this? How does this scripture tie in with what I'm telling you right now? You know, we have to ask the question. We have to ask the question. If he's writing to us, the Holy Spirit saying, you fathers, I'm writing to you now. And this is today, here in New Hope Community Church. He's writing to us here by his Holy Spirit, and he's saying, I'm writing to you, fathers. All the fathers, put your hands up again. All the fathers here, come on. Okay, all you fathers. He's saying, I'm writing to you because you've known him who's from the beginning. We have to ask, what is the Father who is from the beginning like? What is he like? And this is where, folks, the focus of today's message. The Father who is from the beginning, what is he like? I'm not asking questions like, does he look like us? We are made in his image, but he has no hand. You cannot make God into a body. He is a spirit. He fills the whole universe. He is everywhere at the same time. There is no time to God. He always has been. He knows tomorrow for you like you remember yesterday. Even better, because sometimes I forget yesterday. He knows me. This God who has all these attributes, I want to focus on one thing about him. In Luke chapter 15, I'm going to read this for you. You don't have to stand for this, but you follow this passage. This is about the prodigal son. And we focus on the prodigal son, but I want you to look at this story. And this parable Jesus told, instead of looking at the son, would you look at the father with me for a moment? What is this father like who's from the beginning? This is a picture in the story of the father who is from the beginning. When this young man who, you know the story, he took his estate, he went off, lived wildly, spent all his money on the parties, all his friends left him, he was feeding pigs, he was hungry, the farmer wouldn't even let him eat the pig food. And he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven and before you. Now, this next words are very important. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me as one of your hired servants. That last sentence is important as we keep reading. So you see, he's going over in his mind, when I go home, I'm going to walk humbly. I'm going to come before my father, and I'm going to tell him I've sinned against him. And I don't expect him to ever call me his son, but just make me one of your servants. Let me just work for you as a servant. That's all I ask. I'm not worthy to use your name. No one must call me by your name. Just let me work on your farm. Because your servants, they eat at least food that's made for humans. And I'm not even allowed to eat food for pigs. So he has this in his mind. He's going over and over. Finally, he leaves the farm. He starts walking towards home. You know something? I think by this time he probably wasn't running because he's probably weak from not eating much food. And you can imagine, if he wasn't eating food, they weren't giving him a bath either. And he'd been around pigs. I used to work on a pig farm. And I want to tell you something. Old Spice doesn't cut it. I did it one time. I was working, went to a youth meeting. I thought I didn't have time for a shower, so I put a lot of Old Spice on. At first, it was really good, but it wore off. And pretty soon, in the room, somebody said, it smells like pigs in here. This man, now you imagine, he's coming home, and this story probably is the parable about him coming home to his home in Israel. And what does he smell like? Pigs. And he's saying, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Oh, just, and so he's going over and over and over in his mind. Well, let's keep going on the story. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. What is this father from the beginning like? I don't know about you, but I have my mind, when I read the Bible, I watch movies in my mind. It's just my imagination. But I see this father. I see him like on the front of the farmhouse. I think there's like a porch or veranda there. He's old now. He doesn't have to go out in the fields. His servants are there. But he sits there. I don't know if they had rocking chairs back then, but I think I see him like this. Every day in the morning, he gets up. He goes to the rocking chair in the porch. And there's a road that goes all the way down from his house to the other road. And he sits there like this. And they think he's old. You know, he's lost his mind. He just sits there. That's all he does all day. What's he doing? No one knows. He doesn't talk anymore. He's so sad. Head down. Looks up. Head down. Looks up. Not for one day. Not for a week. Not for a month. Ever since his son has left the farm, he sits there. I heard some of you sing hymns today. Oh, they blessed me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. I feel the Father's Spirit was calling, Son, come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. How many of you here have a son, a daughter, a nephew, a niece, someone in your family who walked with Jesus and now they've gone astray? They're walked away from the Lord. How many of you have someone like that in your family? Let me see your hands. I do. Does your spirit, with the same spirit as the Father, is your spirit doing what the Father's heart is doing? Come home, come home, come home, come home, come home. That son who smells like pigs, wretched, somehow he comes down the road, the next road. He knows now. I remember when I left. I remember the day I walked out this road. And he's coming, and he gets to the end of the driveway that goes to the farmhouse. And he comes around the hedge and the tree, and he looks. There's the house. That's the house I left. He goes, I don't know, but here goes. Oh, well, Father. And he's going over in his mind. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. Oh, I'm not worthy to be called your son. As he's going, he only gets a little way down that road. Yes. And suddenly, that old man becomes young. He doesn't get his cane and his walk. He just, boing! My son, my son, my son! What does he do? It says he saw him, and what did he do? He felt compassion and he ran. This is the Father from the beginning. The Father from the beginning, when he sees one, just one. He doesn't count millions. Well, for $10, we can reach somebody with the gospel. If you send us your $10, we'll give you an anointed dime and we'll send a piece of literature to them. It makes me sick. We've merchandised the gospel and we lost the value of a soul. One soul. What does it mean for one soul to the Father? Fathers, do you know the heart of the Father from the beginning? What does he do for one soul? He gives everything. He gives his life. He becomes human. He goes to the cross. They beat him. They kill him for one soul. This is the heart of the Father from the beginning. Do you know him? Do you know him? He comes down from heaven with compassion. Been waiting all eternity for this moment. Do you know the heart of the Father from the beginning? Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know the heart of the Father from the beginning? This is the heart of the Father from the beginning. But dad, look at how far he gets. You got to watch this. When I saw this, I got excited. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Now there's still more in the speech. Remember, he's been rehearsing it. What part is he going to say now? I am not worthy to be called your son, right? Before he can say that, the father said to his servants, he interrupts him in the middle of his speech. The father interrupts him and says, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. And I'm getting ahead of all of myself here. Okay. Oh, where am I going? Oh, my goodness. Back up. Okay. Okay, they said, you see this whole thing here? I can't read the letters back there. They're too small. But I think, does it say? Yes, that's what I wanted it to say. Thank you. He puts a robe on him. What are these white robes? They stand for the righteous acts of the saints. Folks, this is so in the book of Revelation. What does the Father do when we come home? You know, when a believer dies, we mourn for the family here. We mourn for Pastor Debbie, for her. But for the one who passed away, can I weep? Karen's father just passed away. He had a very hard life here, very, very hard. He went through the Second World War and went through great traumas, huge traumas, lived with those nightmares every day for the rest of his life. Every day. He could not get those pictures and images of the war from his mind. Every single day he was tormented. God did not relieve him of that torment. We prayed. But he suffered until he was raking leaves just a couple weeks ago in the backyard. And God went, ta-da! And he was raking leaves. And, oh, that's it. Immediately, he was brought into the presence of God. I'm not worthy. Shh. Put a robe on him that I have purchased for him. The fatted calf, oh, we're not talking a calf. We're talking the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen? This is the heart of the Father from the beginning. I must go or I'm going to be way too late. Okay, I'm going to keep going. You'll have to sing a few songs less the next time I preach. The Lord told Moses, I got to go back. Okay, let me go back. I'm going to give you one more scripture before I close. This is a scripture. Is this God that we talk about in Luke the same God as the Old Testament? Luke, in Exodus 34, Moses says, God, show me yourself. He says, okay. You ask me a hard thing, but you go up by the mountain and there's a crack in the rock. You get into that rock, crawl back into the rock as far as you can. You get into that crevice in the rock. And then I'm going to put my hand, God says, I'm going to come by, I'm going to put my hand over the crack. And then I'm going to walk by you. And when I go by you, I'm going to take away my hand. And then you will actually be able to see me from behind. But no one can see my glory and live. So I don't want to kill you, so you stay in that rock. Then he comes, presents himself to Moses, and here's what he says. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious. See that? The Lord, what does he first say? A God merciful and gracious. Is this the same as we just read in about the prodigal's father? Merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. There's more. Keeping steadfast love for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. Praise God. Isn't this wonderful? I have to tell you something. There is a word, and I can't stop this sentence there. It would be wrong. If I stop this, you would only get one part. There's another word. But. Oh. When you read but, you want to be very careful what's coming right after the word but. I'm loving, merciful, kind. I will forgive sin. I'm Father, I'm Abba. I love you. But. Oops, sorry. But. Who will by no means clear the guilty? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on their children and their children's children to the third and fourth generation. What is this, Bob? Wait a minute. Listen. When God gives his love, when he says, I love you, I will give myself for you, I will die for you. If you say, I'm good enough. I don't need Jesus Christ, death. I don't need the blood of Christ to forgive my sins. I've never done anything that bad. If you're a loving God, then you won't send me to hell. You won't banish me. I've done nothing wrong. Is this the voice in the world today? How can a loving God condemn a soul like an innocent person to damnation? What kind of God is this? Be careful. Be careful. This is a holy book. And you're speaking of a holy God. And heaven would not be heaven if sin was allowed once again to be among us. If Satan cannot be there, and if the angels who followed him cannot be there, neither can any of the humans who are infected with the disease who refuse his love. Now, if you will be kind to me just for a few moments, I want to share something with you. I didn't know how much time I would take on this. Today, in the nation of Canada, we are close to some of our nation living under the words that come after the word but. You all realize God sets up and takes down, but he allows people to come into power that represent the people. And the people in the east part of our nation have set someone into power whose lifestyle is an abomination to God. God will honor the nation who fears him. But the nation who forgets God, the nation who turns their back on God, but, and I am not saying this as a prophet, I'm saying this as declaring the word of God. Watch what happens in the eastern part of our nation. You watch what happens. Keep your eyes. Watch. I fear and tremble for the nation of Canada because we have been given much. We've been entrusted with the word of God. But here's what's happened. It comes to we have forgot God. We have forgot that God is not only loving, God is righteous, and God is holy. Several years ago, while I was pastoring in Calgary, I can't tell the whole story, but I came to an understanding of what it means from God's love to God's wrath. I will do it as quickly as I can. But if this is the last time I preach, and every time I preach now, I always preach like it's my last, because I never know. So if this is my last message, let me tell you how you understand the heart of God, the loving God. This is my nephew. Okay, he is from China for 12 years. He's just come here. I'm going to use you as an illustration for just a moment. Would you stand up right over there for a moment? Okay. And I don't know your name. What is your name? Jonathan, can you come here for a moment, please? I just want you. Jonathan, I want you to be my son now, okay? You're my boy. How old are you?
33.
33. Perfect age. So here's perfect age. here's my 33-year-old boy and I, okay? And we're standing here, and I haven't seen my nephew, and I haven't seen him for, like, many years. He's in China, right? He just come here. And I look across the street, and I look. Hey, look it! It's Jason! And I call over, Jason! And Jason goes, Uncle Bob, right? Okay? But the street is the White Mud Freeway. Okay? I go, just wait right here, okay? And I go, Jason. And it's like a slow motion. You know, you see it like we run towards one another. Okay, that's good. Okay, good. Just about when we're together, I look and I see this great big transport truck coming at 80 kilometers an hour. His eyes are looking at me. He doesn't even see it. But I see it. I see the truck. This is my nephew who I love. In a moment of time, oh, stay there. Don't go away yet. In a moment of time, I rush forward. I hit him. Boom. You fall back. And I go under the wheels of the truck. No greater love hath anybody than to lay down your life for your friend, right? Okay, same picture. Is it Mark? What was your name? Okay, so here's Jonathan, my son, and me, 33 years old. Okay, remember that. Sam there, ready? We're going to do it again. Okay. I'm going to go, Jason! You go, Uncle Bob. Okay. We're running. I see the truck. Okay, stop now. Stop for motion. I go, here's my son, my only son, Jonathan. You're going to hit the truck. I push my son, Jonathan, out. My son, Jonathan, hits you. Bang, you fall back. And my son, Jonathan, goes under the wheels of the truck. Now, if I take my son Jonathan, I pick him up, I'm holding him in my arms, okay? His dead body is in my arms. And my nephew comes, okay, come here. And if he sees him, and I'm holding his body in my arms, and he starts to laugh at me, and says, Uncle Bob, why did you waste Jonathan like that? I said, what do you mean? Uncle Bob, I would have reached up with my hand. I would have just caught the truck with my hand. You wasted your son. How do you think I'm going to feel in that moment towards my nephew if he's laughing at me and I'm holding my boy in my arms and he's telling me I wasted my son? How do you think I'm going to feel towards him? What do you think? How do you think I'm going to feel? Anger. And you keep laughing and mocking. I'm looking at my Jonathan, 33 years old, who I'm holding in my arms. And you say, why did you waste your boy? Do you get the picture? Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you. Yes, give them a hand. I trust that you will never allow that picture to go out of your mind. It came to my mind one time. I've remembered it all my life. How can God send someone to eternity apart from him when you say, I don't need your love? You wasted your son. The same passion of love, the same power of love turns, depart from me. I gave my son, my only son, who suffered. He was sinless. He is me. And you mock me? You mock me? That I and you are as equal, holy? And you must live with me because you and I are the same? We are not the same. You will not live with me. Go! Do you get the picture? On Father's Day, it's important we have the full picture of God. Now, our problem is, for my wife and I, our roots come from Europe, and our fathers were brought up very sternly. They only knew the butt side. They never knew the love side. when you saw Dad, just look out. You know, back then, my grandpa, he's a big Hungarian, and he would want to spank me on the bum. But he's so big, and he's so strong, okay? If his hand hits you on the bum, literally, you're airborne. I was in the air. I was, woo! And when your feet come down, you run! Now, he wasn't trying to be mean. It's just, Bobby! Poof! And, you know, I saw him lift a tractor, so he could hit me with his hand, and he was like a bodybuilder, but he was a farmer. But I tell you, I always wanted to know where my grandpa was. And you make sure grandpa never found out if anything was a mistake. I read a book written in 1972 when I was pastoring called A Man of Steel and Velvet. And this book shows real men how we are to be. I'm not going to teach this. It's a whole book. I'm just going to show you a picture that's in the book. It shows a man who has six qualities like steel and six qualities soft like velvet. The steel, he is the guide, protector, provider. I like your song. It was something about, you know, keep on the fiery line, you know. Be brave. Be bold. We become Christians are like, I'm a Christian. Yes, yes. We love you. We love you. Yes, we love you all. This is my house. My children and my wife are behind that door. You're not going into the house. You got to go through me. That's what a man is. I love my children. I won't hurt you, but if you try to hurt my children, you're not going to live. Do you understand? These things aren't even taught anymore. Steel is important to protect, to provide.
I want a job that I can do with my fingers only, you know? Anything that makes a sweat on my brow, it's like, it's for people with no brains.
There's something about getting ready to work. We're going to move some chairs here, all right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, but, you know, I...
Come on. Amen. There's some stuff to do. Yes. There's some providing to do. Yes. There's some work to be done.
That's right. Yes.
Men step forward. Yes. They don't shrink back. They step forward. I got to keep going. A builder of society. Oh man, I take too long. I'm not going to teach masculinity, character, confidence, health. I'm getting healthier. Okay, velvet. Understands women. That one takes a long time. I've been working on it my whole life. Gentleness. You know, if a man is strong, he can be gentle. Gentleness is not weakness. I like seeing a man that's worked out in the gym's got arms like legs, holding on to a little baby and going like this. Just touching the baby. You know? It's something, isn't it, to see power? It's gentle. Just gentle. Just gentle. Attentiveness. Are you okay? Are you all right? Men usually don't do that. We gotta be. Excuse me. Are you all right? Can I get Jonathan? Right? You okay? Okay. It's good, man. I was a little bit concerned. We sat right next to you. I thought we scared you at first back there. That's okay. You gotta be attentive to one another. That's what men are. Youthfulness. That means don't be so serious. You know?
I'm a Christian.
How are you doing today? humility? Well, number one, that's right, City of Champions. Well, we were the City of Champions. Well,
one day. It's kind of good to be humbled a bit, isn't it? It's good for us.
Humility. Refinement. You don't use words like that around here. This is our house. In our house, those words aren't spoken.
Oh, they say it at school all the time.
That word will not be spoken in our house, son. If you like eating at this table, you won't be saying that again. Do you understand? That is also manliness. Steel makes men, makes women and children feel secure. People can admire a true man of steel. Makes women feel womanly. Women don't have to be feminists. I just like it when I see, don't get me wrong, I know that things are different today, but you know something, I like it. I like it when mom can be at home raising the children. I just like that. When that's possible, I think that's the plan it should be. If you have to drive one car and live in a townhouse rather than a big house, but your children are being raised with their mother, I really think that's desirable. Make her feel womanly. She doesn't have to carry an axe and chop wood. I carry the axe and I chop the wood. I got to keep going. I'm going to get meddling. Velvet promotes human relationships among people, is a reconciler, is an ambassador of the love of God, awakens love in women and children. And I don't say that lust, but shows how to love. When they feel loved, a child can love when they feel the father's love. I'm writing to you little children, because your sins are forgiven for my name's sake. Writing to your fathers of the faith, because you know him who is from the beginning. My last word, I'm writing to young men who will one day be fathers. All the young men that are here, that you're not fathers yet, it's not just go to the gym and work out. Get to know the Father. Get to know the Heavenly Father. You pattern your life after him, then you're ready to say, I do. Because there's weight behind it. You're not just wanting to get married and lift the veil. You're going, till death do us part. That's what it's about, folks. The man who does that is worthy to be a father. Fathers, don't be discouraged. When I get discouraged, I don't look to some sports star. I don't watch the comics to see if there's a superhero I want my children to think of me like. I want to be like the Father who's from the beginning. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know, because I'm visiting here, but there might be somebody here this morning. You've just come in the doors, and you're the young man who's walked away from Jesus. You're the young lady who's gone away, and Jesus is saying, come home. Is there anybody here this morning? And you realize, you know, I'm not with God the way I should be. My life is not right with God. I need to make things right. I would like to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come and stand at the front here, but I would like to pray for you. There's someone here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not in the right place with God. I want to come back to God. I want to restore my relationship with God. I will pray for you. If you would just slip your hand up and put it down, then I will remember you in this prayer. In this room, I don't know, is there someone here? Just raise your hand. Yes, there's one over here. Anyone else? You're saying, please remember me as well. I'm also not in the right place with God. Don't be embarrassed. I'm not going to call you out. It's just like saying, I admit, I've sinned against God. I've gone my own way. I'm asking God to forgive me. Anyone else join this one? Yes? Okay. Do you know the angels in heaven right now are beginning to assemble the cutlery? They're going to rejoice over this service, more over these two than all the rest of you. They don't need to raise your hand. I'm telling you, this is the Bible. Anyone else? I'm going to wait a moment. God is speaking to you. Yes. Okay. He needs prayer. This man needs prayer. I'm asking specifically as well for those who say, I need to return to God. I've been away from God. I want to come back to God. I'll wait just another moment. I believe the Holy Spirit speaking. Is there yet one more? Okay. Father, for these who raise their hands, you know their hearts. Lord, they openly say to you, I want to restore my relationship with you. Whatever it is, Lord, make it right. Lord, if they have done this, they've humbled themselves before you. Lord, asking now to hear their cry. And Lord, come now with your love and by your precious blood. Lord, as they confess to you their wrong, Lord, that you will come and cleanse away. Make them clean and restore fellowship and restore closeness and restore that intimacy with you, I pray. We thank you for this now. We give you praise. And now I want to bless every one of you. Father, I ask for everyone here that we will go with a fresh understanding of what it means to know the Father from the beginning. And that we will know you in your love. We will know you in your holiness. And those of fathers here today, we will pattern our life after you as our example. No one else. Our pattern will come from your word according to how you have shown us who you are. That is who we want to be. And now the Lord bless each of you. And Lord, keep every one of you. May his protection be over each of you as you serve him this week. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed, brothers. If you would remain back, we'll make sure these chairs all go into the place where they need to be. Have a wonderful week in the Lord Jesus.